Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Boys and girls, you've made it back to the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and me, Danny V. We're so glad you're here. We got good stuff for you. And I just feel like I want to say, happy day.
Oh, happy day, happy day. Go, Dan.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed.
When Jesus washed,
when Jesus washed,
he washed my sin away.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, Leslie Bersamo,
how do you know? How do you know a church song?
That's the only way, reason I know it.
That's funny.
With Whoopi.
Hey, I've learned a lot of my Bible facts from the Prince of Egypt and stuff.
Sister Act brought me so much joy as a kid. And I remember going, look at these nuns. That was the whole thought through the whole movie. Just look at those nuns go.
Didn't have a part two to that sentence.
No, because the nuns, like in my mind, a nun was like an old stern witch.
Oh, so you came around to the nuns. You're like, nuns, be hip and cool.
Yeah, they were hip and dancing and stuff.
But such a good movie back in the day.
Pearl is twisting.
Yes,
our
love?
Mascara, like as a little like rosary bead thing.
Our THM mascara.
We're so excited. Our makeup
when's it coming,
be coming out?
Out. When's it
fall,
coming out?
Fall, right? Peeps?
Do not give time. Oh, it's not
man.
Coming out in the fall. What baby
are,
cakes.
What are
oh,
goals?
It's not.
Goals
oh,
are
Christmas
goals
presents.
Are Christmas presents. Okay.
All right, Serene, bring the potty. I know you've got some stuff written down on your Obama prompter.
No, I don't. It's not an Obama prompter. This time it's my little exercise book.
But you wrote it in pencil. How are you supposed to see anything?
Well, that's all I have at home. Crayon or pencil, take your pick.
Oh.
Pearl is very familiar with what I'm going to talk about because at the good old Hilltop Church.
Church of Our Father.
Yeah. It was just kind of like open platform and we just got up and we just all ended up talking about the subject that we're about to talk about now. And I was thinking, what could I bring today? And I just felt that this would be an inspiring subject. And I know that so many people who listen, they're just, you know, we have a mix of people who believe and people who believe in, you know, the Bible and people that don't necessarily. And so I'm going to bring that mix to you today.
Bye.
And of course, because I am a believer, that's where my truth comes from. So I'm always going to throw that in there. Don't be offended.
Lower Leslie Pop sits here through it at all.
Yeah,
and
she told us to stop
apologizing for it.
Okay, great.
If she can make it and she's such a heathen.
I know.
So I was wanting to just start
heathen.
With the scriptures, like bam, go in, good go. Go for the throttle where the truth kind of grasps me around the throat. But Pearl's like, hey, remember we've got the mix.
Well, I think some people just switch on this podcast because they think Trim Healthy Podcast and then they hear us. Now turn to Hezekiah.
Yeah, but Hezekiah
like,
ain't
what
even
the?
On my verse list. Anyway, so I'm going to start with some questions and then I'll go to some scripture just to ease you in. And this is the big question of the day. What is dead in our lives that should be resurrected? What is dying that we shouldn't roll over and just let die? I mean, is it relationships? Is hope dead or is hope dying? Is it truth, dreams? Or is it just even the nation that you're living in, nations? Is it areas of your health? Just because it may be already dead doesn't mean it can't be raised. Or something could already be in the grave. It doesn't mean it can't be raised. And just because it's dying doesn't mean that it's time. To die yet, that we should just let it go. And so those are my questions for today. And I do want to jump into just a couple of scriptures, if that be okay, Pearly Pops.
That be all right.
1 Peter 1:3, of course, my favorite Passion Translation for this verse. Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy, for his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. John 11:25. This is just not in the Passion Translation. It's just regular old Google translation.
Whatever Google has.
Whatever Google had. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Romans 8:11. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. And that was a scripture that we used to quote over Arden. Mm. You know?
Your son.
Yeah. New peeps in the room. He was battling a very aggressive form of cancer. And we just like, nope. We just felt it's not your time. It's not your time. And we're just not going to roll over and let it be your time. And so we quoted that scripture. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Romans 8:34. I've just got two more. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who was at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. And what kind of intercession is that? It's interceding for life. So he is the resurrection and the life. Ezekiel 37:13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I have so many more written down, but I'm just going to stop there. Mm-hmm. But I'm not just talking today about a physical ending of your days here on this earth. People have graves in their life in many areas that need to be opened up. And of course, for me, you know, in my life, and Pearl, and Danny may want to speak for himself on this. For us, you know, I feel like the power of the resurrected Christ living inside of us, you know, it gives us that extra ability to speak life into things. But you know, we've talked about the power of positivity. We've talked about the power of the mind, about mindset before. And I feel like it's time to awaken, inspire people to have the mindset of life, to have the mindset, let's not just let things sit in the grave and that are already dead, or things that look like they're dying. It doesn't mean they have to fully die. I just wanted to say maybe it's relationships that have to be raised. Maybe they're dead. Maybe they're not just dying. Maybe they're already dead.
I know, because I think sometimes when you think something's dead, right, you think, well, that's the time. That relationship was time to die. But why would Jesus have raised Lazarus from the dead if it was Lazarus's time?
Well, yeah, exactly. In Hebrews 11, it's the faith chapter, in verse 35, it says, faith-filled woman saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. So even let's just go back to the physical example of the end of people's days, like, you know, physically dying, physically breath being removed mm-hmm. from your body. That's not exactly what we're talking about here today. But let's just go to the very core of the resurrection. If it was always people's time to die when they died, why did faithful women see their children raised back? And or why did Matthew chapter 10, it tells us, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead.
Wow.
Now here, there's the sovereignty of God involved. So if you are listening and you have had a beautiful child or a loved one or a parent pass away, there's a sovereignty of God in that. And we're not saying you weren't faithful. No, please do not hear that from our lips. But we're saying you don't know unless you tried. And we've been given the mantle, or what is the word? We've been given the job to try in faith. And then we know, then we can rest. Hey, maybe it was their time. But I feel like we need to not just roll over and just let death be the final word.
Yeah.
And at that, I want to say one more verse and then I won't bring any more. But Revelation 1:17-18, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. You see, there is keys to death. And then for us that believe, you know, we have Christ in us and he's the one that holds those keys. But, you know, death can be opened. And life can be brought back from the grave.
Yes.
And I do want to say, you know, just we're going to go to health and we're going to go to areas of your health. But even right now, Pearl, we started at relationships. Maybe we think straight away, well, my brain goes straight to marriage relationships. And of course, you know, there is times when there's divorce and that, you know, that grave is pretty much if you're remarried again. That's sad. We're not trying to open that grave, hear us. We're not some weird cult. But you know, if you are married and you feel like, okay, it's as good as dead or it's dying, maybe it's time for a little bit of resurrection.
And maybe it's not time for that death.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The greatest miracles are when things are brought to life that were considered dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's huge.
But I think it's a matter of our looking at them. We look at something's dead, they're going to be dead, right? What if we look at them differently? And that's what you're saying, right? Maybe your relationship, well, everyone looks at it and say, well, that's gone. That's dead. That's too far. But maybe it's not.
Hey, I also think some relationships need to go away. It's time to
go. You're talking about marriage here?
No.
We were.
I know. But I was just thinking, she was sharing about, you know, relationships in general earlier. And some you got to cut off.
You do? Because I disagree with that.
I disagree. And I love, and it's good on the pod. It's healthy for us to disagree.
It is.
Yeah. I really feel like, you know, I'm just being vulnerable and honest. There is relationships in my life right now that look really stinky and look in the eyes of man that they're dead. I'm not going there. And people say, well, you know, it's about time. You know, you've been through this. You've been on this roller coaster road over and over and over and over. You know, maybe you should pull the cold shoulder. But hey, I'm just not in agreement. I really feel like, I mean, unless there is actual like sexual abuse, abuse where it is like harming you or your children. And then I still believe you pray for that person and don't be bitter. But I feel like we're always for life. We're always for life, and I think we're always for a relationship. What do you think, Dan? Are you going to come back and change?
Yeah, I am. I just am because there are soul-sucking vampires out there who want to use you
Would those words sound right coming out of Jesus' mouth?
I think so.
Like all the whole world are soul-sucking vampires.
No, but I think,
why do I want to die on the cross?
I get what you're saying, Danny,
weirdos?
But I think it's so current and hip to be like, squash that relationship, that's not healthy for me. Squash that relationship, that's toxic for me.
Totally.
But
totally,
if that's harmful for my children, I'm not going to let my child around that grandparent that literally saying, you need to lose weight, you little, what are you eating? 8 years old? You should need that. Okay.
Dude, can't even talk to my kids.
Toxic.
Absolutely.
Okay, but I'm a grown up. I should be able to, if I get to a point of maturity, to not cut myself off from someone unless, like Serene said, they are completely dangerous for my life because I can turn on my love nerve and love them through it and not choose to be hurt,
Okay. Well, here's the difference, though, because, yes, so I 100%, I love Cal's phrase, we're in violent agreement.
Yeah.
Because from an emotional cutting off, I'm hurt perspective, I 100% agree with you. I'm not talking about that. Like, I think that your love should endure forever.
Yeah.
You should always be, if
love never gives up, type
a resource to those people.
Yeah.
Even, right? What I'm talking about is you don't have to have daily, weekly, monthly, or even yearly interactions with people that are using you.
I think you should always desire. I think you should always desire for the miracle. And until the breath is out of your body, to always desire life in every single area of your body and every single broken relationship. You know, I was just reading this morning. I mean, of course, it was the famous words of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He was pouring out love words, you know, on the cross. And this morning I was reading about Stephen, who was being stoned to death. And his last words were, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do.
See, all that fits in my container.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But that's good. But I just think always we should long, even if, and I understand where you're coming from. I know that, you know, I know because we're being friends.
Yeah, because what if, Serene, you want someone to call you, meet you for coffee every week, and all they want to do is talk about their problems and this person that hurt them and that. Are you going to make time for that? Probably not.
Well, I'm just not sure. But what my point is that this maybe the way you're resurrecting that is praying for them. Maybe the way you're resurrecting that is directing for
someone. But not completely cutting them off and say forget it.
Right.
I mean, forget them.
You don't have to block their number.
Right.
But you don't
because
also
obviously if they're talking about their problems all day, they're severely broken people and they need help. And maybe that's part of your, you know, you think, oh, I want to go in the mission field. I want to do this for Christ. Well, maybe that's right there knocking on your door. Hey, love this person. Be the hands and feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus. But, you know, And I understand where you're coming from, Danny, because just as a friend, I know that, you know, in you and your wife's relationship, there have been family members that have been a little toxic. Maybe a little is the wrong word, but I do believe that
we handed
the
them
heart
over
for resurrection.
We handed them over to be taught not to blaspheme.
But the heart for resurrection, I believe, should be, we're all about life, because life is the kingdom we've decided to side with. We don't want to side with the kingdom of death. And so I just want to go on to this really quickly, just to the point.
Get it.
Yeah. And maybe in these relationships, maybe communication needs to be resurrected. You know? Like, I agree, you say it best when you say nothing at all. But that's communication.
You say it best.
That's my message to these haters.
No. Hey, we're not sidetracking anymore. Okay. But, you know, with the love and relationship, I just can enjoy sitting on the couch with my husband and saying zilch, but boy, we are communicating. And I'm not talking with French kissing on the couch. Maybe we are, but I'm talking deeper than that. I'm just saying there's a vibe of communication, like our cells are communicating. So I'm not saying you have to go and be a talkaholic, but maybe communication has been dead for a while in your marriage. Maybe you've just decided to not share your inner secrets anymore, to not share your dreams, to not, maybe you go on dates and you just sit there and you just like chow down on your, I was going to say mashed potatoes, but maybe maybe you're not doing that on the Trim Healthy Plan.
Or maybe, maybe your love life is dead.
Yes.
And maybe it's easier that way, and maybe you're used to it, and maybe you're saying, but that's, it's almost like, well, but we're okay. We don't even need that anymore. We're past that. But maybe it's not dead.
And you know what? My parents, my mum, you know, she's 79, and I don't think she'll be mine. She says it on her own podcast.
Darling, are you going to repeat this that you've repeated every week?
No, not that line.
Okay, good. Another one.
No. But you know, at that age, it should probably be dead.
Yeah.
And romance, as far as sexual intimacy, you know, almost 80. And at that age, you definitely should be okay with it dying. My parents are not okay with it dying.
No, they're just not.
They're like, no, as long as we've got breath, we're going to resurrect this thing every way we can.
And they're using lots of herbs and supplements, trust me, because my mum asked me and my dad asked me.
And you go and you open the cupboard of my father and it looks like a pharmacopoeia of all kinds of horny goat weed.
Yeah.
But my point is, just because the world says it should die doesn't mean we should let it die.
Wait a minute. We can't. Speed past, people.
Sometimes Danny would just zero in on one thing.
A pharmacopoeia
of horny goat
weeds, plural, is the phrase of the day.
Yes.
Like, maybe that's the push button for this podcast.
Like, how can we describe?
That is the clickbait for today, pharmacopoeia of horny goat weeds. And we won't, you know, this whole email gets squished.
Hey, and from
Google.
Now on, if somebody's like, hey, do you know Colin Campbell? I sure do. What's Colin like? Oh, I would best describe Colin as a pharmacopoeia of horny goat weeds.
Dad would love that.
And if they have a problem, I'll say, well, his daughter thought so.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Listen, okay, let's move on. I love it, Dan, though. You bring life. You bring life. You resurrect boringness into.
It wasn't boring, Serena. I've been sitting here being challenged.
Maybe we need to resurrect trust. Maybe it is jolly well dead and dead for good reason. Maybe unfaithfulness stoned it to death. Maybe trust has totally been in the grave 6 feet down for 6 years or more. We can still resurrect it because that's, you know,
you're
love believes all things.
Cry.
Love trusts and hopes all things. Maybe it's hope that needs to be resurrected. Maybe, you know, I
want to say one thing.
Yes.
You're on a roll. But death, letting something die is sometimes easier than struggling and deciding to resurrect it in your marriage or in your relationship. Because to resurrect it, it's going to take everything that you have. But life is always best.
Life is always best. It's good.
I'm just telling myself this here too.
Maybe it's resurrect respect.
Ooh.
I'm speaking to me as woman because I think you know, I believe as a woman that my longing is to be adored. But I know my man, he wants to be respected. And I do respect him. Like, I don't have issues with that. But that's my thing. I'm speaking to myself. Don't lose that, Serena. And he doesn't have to be perfect. But respect is something that you can even find one good. I've met many things in my husband, bless the Lord. But, you know, even if you can only find one thing, that they brush their teeth, respect.
Respect the fact.
There's many people
What's
that
good
don't.
About your man? He brushes his teeth.
And can you imagine like somebody who like 99 of everything else in their life is pure trash, but it's just like, I tell you one thing, the guy brushes his teeth.
I know. But no, it's truth though. But I say this to you. Okay, when you look, people always say, you know, in their heads, oh, he's not the man I used to, you know, he's not the man I married or whatever. But go look back at your man when you were courting or when you were dating, whatever it was, and list some of the attributes that you liked, mm-hmm. okay? And see if they're still there. I've done this for myself on days when I'm really mad at my husband or he's just not living up to my standards, you know? Sure. And then I'll be like, oh, he's just not the man I married, you know, just thoughts will come into my head. And they'll be like, oh, really, Pearl? Well, go back and list some of the things that you loved about him when you were dating. So he was, I said things like, he was very chivalrous. Like he always protected me and I felt very calm in his presence. He has a calming influence.
And is
he's
he still?
Very responsible, very serious. I'll go through all these one by one. I'm sorry. Yes, he is that. Yeah. He is very grounded. Yes, he is that. He doesn't care what people think. Yes, he is that. You just do it. See what happens.
That's a good.
See what happens.
What is this destructive side of our brain that wants to say things like, because I know what you're talking about. It's like, that's not the person I married.
Yeah.
Why is that this universal destructive voice?
And usually we're not the people that they married and we've turned. Yeah. Maybe if they are not that, it's because we, you know, you think, oh, he used to be this, he used to be that. But maybe we used to like freshly quickly spray the perfume on and, you know, and quickly meet him at the door all this.
When we met him, we were smiling too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we were putting on our
We were like, oh my goodness, you're finally here. Do you know how long I have waited?
Take the trash out. You know, why does he want to be all that chivalrous to that?
And for some reason, he wants to stay late at work every night.
But listen, here's a big one. Resurrect hope. And now I want to talk about this. Hope has been murdered for many these days. Murdered. Hope. You know, just think of what's happening in the world. Just hope. People think, oh, this the economy's dying. This is dying. That's dying. You know, the America that I grew up in, that's dying. Well, does it have to be? Maybe you have something to do for that. You're just one little person.
No, but it's easier to think, oh, let it die. It's easier to go around saying and lamenting. Like I was watching too much news and I was sighing each time at the end of it. And I was going around sighing the whole day saying, oh, this world. Oh my goodness, what times we live in, right? Isn't it horrible? Oh, I can't believe what's going on. And I was just talking and my words were going out there all the time and I was believing it and getting rid of all hope and I was empty of hope and I was just like, this is a horrible place, horrible times that we're living in. But it's wrong to go around like that. We have been given and living such a time as this where we can speak words of hope and life and be the light, right?
I was a lunatic last night. I just decided not on my watch. Like Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings, I haven't seen that movie because I always walk out. It's too dark for me. But my children tell me about it, that Gandalf's he puts his whatever down, his staff, and says, thou shalt not pass to the evil.
Such
and
a
so
good
I
scene.
Did a weird thing last night. I was, you know, we came back to our house after going to the creek and all the electricity was off, but there was not a storm, not a wind. And I'm like, I started getting conspiracy theories. It's the dark times that we're living in. You know, now they're just going to turn off the electricity. Now, you know, we can't go out into the world and now we're going to be living at home in the dark. It was a flash, little tiny little bucket thought in my head. Of course, it was nothing to do with anything. But, you know, but I just decided, forget all of this moping about these crazy times. So I couldn't go and be in my house because it was all dark. So the only light was the solar lights on my deck. So that's where I was. I was outside on my deck. And I just decided, I just spoke into the atmosphere. I'm like, no way, America. You know, America, I say, you know, economy, you know, in the name of Jesus, back to order. And I just started speaking all the stuff. We've been given a voice, we've been given the authority of his name. And us who believe, you know, we have power to wield.
It's true, Serene. Listen, I was studying some science this morning, the science of sound and the sound vibrations. And, you know, they're uncovering so much about vibrations. So essentially this whole world, what we thought was still, and we've talked about this on the potty before, is moving. Like, you know, this mascara I'm holding in my hand, it looks still. It looks like it's solid. We used to have the word solid. Nothing is solid anymore, really. They've realized, no, this is moving. This mascara might look solid, but all the particles are vibrating. They're moving. Everything is. So everything is able to change, right? The whole world. So in a way, because every atom in this globe and in this universe is moving, it's all making sound. Now, our ears can't hear it because vibration is also sound. So this whole world and hemisphere and stratosphere, it is all under the influence of sound and words. Words are the power of that sound. So, Serene, I know it sounds crazy for you to say, I just stood there and I said, America, rise up, you know. Serene's a smart one here. She's actually understanding more than those of us who are going around saying, I just can't believe we're living in these times. This is horrible. You know, sound, I mean, there's a law here, just like the law of gravity. There is a law of words. There is a law of sound. Everything is pulsing with it. We haven't yet tapped it and understood it. But there is truth to this, what you're doing. There is truth to our authority, harnessing sound kingdom, and right? using it.
It's the keys of the kingdom, yeah. Binding.
Loosing.
And loosing.
The Bible understood more than we have for thousands of years science-wise, and science is just catching up to it. Am I right, Dan? Am I off? No?
Well, I've actually started thinking about, you know, I used to see, you know, you this concept of laying your hands on someone to heal them.
Right.
I would see it as, oh, and then, you know, I would almost picture someone standing in the clouds with a notepad going, oh, he did the thing, now we respond or whatever. But I wonder if it's just physics. I wonder if there's something in the palms, in the fingertips, you know, in creation and in the words themselves. Like, it's a physics thing. It vibrates things.
Well, you see, yes. I mean, the cross healed. But you see, God is the creator of physics or meridians or everything that we don't even understand. We think is woo-woo and voodoo, right?
Yeah.
He's the jolly creator of them. He understands how it is. What do you think will be like in our spiritual bodies? Part of it is physics. We think what is physics? And God understands them. And when we have our full mental being,
we think what's woo-woo with what, 5% minds. Of our brain being used?
Yeah. What does that 95% understand that we don't yet, Dan?
And I wonder if we'll find out that there wasn't this physical realm and this spiritual realm. It was actually all a physical realm. Yeah. It was actually tangible.
Well, the kingdom of God is here. See, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It is all tangible. What people think, oh, well, we can't, you know, many believers sadly think, well, you know, I've got my ticket to heaven. It's going to be all wonderful when I get to heaven. Finally going to go home.
To glory.
You know, get rid of all this, you know, situation. I believe we're meant to bring the heaven to here. Of course it is a heaven, you know, but, so I'm not being totally out there, but I'm just saying we are meant to bring heaven to earth. That's our job.
Yeah, or at least help open people's eyes of the heaven that surrounds them 100% of the time. You know, I think that you can walk according to any nature you choose. You know, you can walk in darkness. And I think, what if that's not this theoretical idea, but what if there's actually people on the planet who are walking in darkness and they're getting just negative results in everything they touch.
They're walking in death. I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, that there's people that are living.
See, that's what I'm saying. The Bible's so smart.
It's so smart.
Just smart. Just saying, you know, I set before you death and life, and it says choose life. How jolly simple. We gloss over that and like that scripture says choose life. Okay. It's big. It's so big. Choose life. There's physics to that, Dan.
Yeah, and I wonder if like, you know, the time it was written in, I don't think anyone had a frame of reference or a concept for atoms and molecules.
No, they didn't.
And so to come with some teaching about moving molecules with your words, moving, you know, causing temperature changes with your hands or whatever, you know, I don't know how it all works, right? But the vocabulary of the understanding of the time seems to almost indicate like there's this stuff out there that comes down and influences this stuff here. But I just feel like the more
I say what you're saying. Jesus was just using physics, right? Because he's creator. Yeah.
He wasn't doing magic.
He wasn't doing magic. Jesus is God, creator. Yeah. So everything he said he did, the Father control, but he's the triune spirit and all that. He understands physics. He created physics. So what everyone think, oh my goodness, magic miracle. He's just God.
Yeah. I think we use the word magic. Yeah. We use the word miracle, and that's a word.
I do think it's physics, and I do believe all that. I do believe he works through that. I do believe it's the cross.
Yes.
But it all stems to the cross. The cross
was the obedience.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. The cross was the lamb that was slain. Now we're going deep. That enabled this healing to come through, right?
Well, because we weren't even able to have intimacy with him.
Yeah.
You know, there was no...
When you're intimate with Christ, you have access to all of that he's given us, to life. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. And that's what it is. Let's resurrect life. Well, let's not walk in death. Let's resurrect life and resurrect positivity. And here's one, resurrect laughter.
Mm.
Do you know Mum said, and resurrect singing. Pearl, I love it. You know, I used to sing, I'll go back to what Mum said, but I used to sing around the house all the time. And now I have a daughter who sings constantly. She's 10 years old. She can't stop. And sometimes I think, oh, I can hardly concentrate. It's a bit loud and you sing the same line.
I feel like
saying that's awful.
I know what you're saying.
But I don't
want
to kill the life and the creativity. Yeah. And actually I've started to tell myself, Serene, why don't you resurrect the singing in you? And you won't be so purdy dirty like that. Singing's annoying. And so I know that saying, I want to resurrect singing around the house. Pearl, you sing around the house. You still sing around the house.
I do a sing. Our kids sing together. It's so fun. But here's another thing.
But what you do, Mom said. Just, and then you talk. Some people might just need to resurrect whistling. Mum said everyone used to whistle as they'd walk down the streets.
Yes, I love to whistle. This is something I want to resurrect and something that I've been very cynical about in my Christian life. Shouting with joy, okay? As a pastor's kid, you know, I just thought I was just so jaded and seen it all. And it's like all the loonies that would shout in church, I'd be just like, shh. Can someone escort them out?
This is embarrassing. What if I bring a guest?
Oh my goodness, they're so overwhelmed. They're shouting, shut them up.
Put your flag away. I have mom in town.
Yeah, I'm just like so judgy. Like they're just, that's not cool. Okay, you know. And then I've just been so convicted that like, no, they got it, Pearl. You didn't, okay? Because all through the Bible, it literally says, and if it says something, it's good for our bodies, right? Shout for joy. It even says...
It even says,
daughter, rejoice, not just rejoice, but rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem.
The shout of victory.
Shout. I mean, that's even talking to us. And so, but, you know, I never wanted to be like the exuberant type, the over the top, the wacky, the loony, you know. But now I'm thinking, there's something to be said.
Once you understand physics,
it's good for the body.
How did Jericho's walls fall?
Why should I not be shouting for joy? Actually, I should be.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, not doing it in the grocery store. Maybe I can still be a human citizen and not look like a complete fruitcake. But why can't I go outside of my house or even in there with my children and just say yes? Man, I'm blessed. Oh, blessed. Now, our sister Vange does that. Everyone thinks she's a loony, but everyone forgives her for it because she's sort of cray-cray.
But I'm telling you, her
life is wondrous because she's harnessed something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm determined, after reading through all the scriptures that says, shout for joy, shout for joy, shout for joy, it's telling us to do it. Why is it telling us to do it?
Because it resurrects something inside of us. It resurrects.
If you're feeling gloom, if you're feeling like something is dead, why didn't you go shout for joy about what God's going to raise?
It's like when my son Arden, for new peeps in the room, you know, he battled an aggressive cancer and he is totally, he has the victory through Jesus. But it was amazing. But I remember thinking, okay, I can pray a silent prayer for him, a nice little quiet, little heartfelt, you know, a little whisper in the night. And I did many of those whispers in the night. But I felt something inside of me say, Serene, you need to shout this. You need to be the Gandalf who puts down the staff and says, thou shalt not pass. Get off my property, devil. You know, like, do not come to my son. Like, but I also felt this need to shout out, you know, victory for over my sons. And I said to my mom, I said, you know what? I need to be on a whole different continent, like a continent where only I, to pray the way I need to pray for my son. She goes, why? Why? I mean, are you going to be in it? This is your son. And then I'm like, that's right. So I started just shouting my prayers, and I don't even dance in front of people, right? But I just remember when we're at the prayer meetings, I was doing ballet at the back like a moron, right? Yeah. But it was because I knew that it was something that was powerful, and it wasn't even something that would have been naturally part of my personality before, to dance ballet, like woo-woo. Like, you know, they were the types that I wanted to be escorted out, you know, growing up in our churches. But there was something in me that said, no, this is what you got to do. There's power in movement, and there's power in sound.
Yeah, there
physics
is.
Physics is real, man.
And, you know, I think a lot of you might, maybe what you're hearing today and you're thinking those girls have gone off the track, right? Because I think, especially if you are considered a Christian, there's two sort of schools of thought with this. One school of thought is, listen, let's just be grateful for whatever God gives us. Okay, I agree with that. Let's endure with patience, with endurance, or let's just endure what we have, but let's not expect miracles, because people have done this whole faith movement and it's been disgusting and they've taken it too far.
Well, faith for red
and they've
Ferraris.
Said, if that person dies in your family, you got sin in your life. And okay, it's been murdered and it's been abused, this sort of whole faith movement. And I think other people have seen it and think, yuck, I don't want any part of that. But have we buried something that was still a precious truth just because people have abused it? You know what I'm saying? And they could say, well, Pearl and Serene are saying all this new age stuff, Pearl and Serene and Danny, about physics, and that miracles are physics, they're not from God. We're not saying that. Don't
hear
that.
No, they're from God,
that.
For goodness sake.
We're just saying there is something precious here that maybe we've buried because we didn't understand it, just like that first photograph, you know, back in the, I think it was 1800s, they took the first photograph, and all the religious leaders of the day said, that is, you know, voodoo, that's wrong.
Yeah.
They thought it was some sort of witchery.
Right.
But it was just light, capturing light.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes Christians now are like, well, you know, don't talk about
miracles.
Don't talk about physics when it comes to healing and all sorts of that. Don't mix the two up. It's new age, and don't talk about like crystals or anything. Don't talk about anything like that. They can't heal, you know, that's witchery. And I just think that there are two extremes, but I think that God is the author of all of it. Don't tell me God Satan didn't create physics.
And
God
it hinges
did.
On the cross.
Yes.
And we believe that. And the Bible says, greater things will you do in my name. And it hinges on his name.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Trim Healthy hydrates, take water, and turn it into a drink of dreams with no harmful ingredients like sugar, unhealthy dyes, junk fillers, artificial ingredients, and needless calories or carbs.
So you might be thinking, oh, what's new about this? Throw this little stick back into water. I've seen it done before. Yes, but it's done before with chemicals. It's done before with preservatives. It's done before, if not with sugar, with aspartame, with sucralose, with all those brain cell destroying, health and blood sugar wrecking ingredients. If your tongue is like a fluorescent color after drinking some other stick pack, that's kind of a hint. Maybe it's not all pure. Trim Healthy hydrates. Just leave the burst of flavor in your mouth and your body hydrated, but nary a dye and nary a negative impact on your body.
Children love Trim Healthy hydrates, and you're going to love that they're drinking something that's natural and is hydrating all their cells in a healthy way.
And do you know who else loves Trim Healthy hydrates? Teenagers and pregnant and nursing women. And of course, anyone else like you who needs to stay hydrated.
Hydrates are available in four flavors. You got Orange Oasis, you got Lemon Love, Cherry Berry, and Blue Skies Colada.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y. And so we have great things to do. It's not just like sit back like insipid Christians and say, oh, well, whatever comes down the pike. No, God wants us to be part of it. I mean, to receive the promises, those great and precious promises, which they're called in the Bible, there is battle to be done. Because when the children of Israel, they didn't just walk into the promised land. They had to fight giants.
Yeah.
And they had to battle the way into every promise.
And there were miracles on the way.
And they had to resurrect stuff on the way. Yeah. And so I want to say just a few more things, just even to get into the health. Resurrect forgotten dreams just before we get to the health thing. That's huge. Some people have just given up on so many things just because they've got jaded. Resurrect focus. And now to the health. Resurrect a dying metabolism. Like resurrect your thyroid, resurrect emails, and that's the practical way to do to resurrect your dying metabolism and your dead thyroid. Resurrect your emails.
And that, and by that, for new people in the room, she means your carbs, your healthy carbs.
Resurrect fruit.
I tell you, when I resurrected those in my life, my metabolism bounced back, even in the middle of my menopause.
Mm-hmm. Resurrect fruit. A lot of people, diabetics and stuff, well, they've been taught that fruit is just basically poison to them. You know.
No, but it can actually heal your type 2 diabetes.
Resurrect life-giving on-plan meals, not just the Franken on-plan meals. So many people, I'm doing Trim Healthy Mama, but it's a lot of cream cheese, a lot of pasteurized dairy, a lot of, you know, just Greek yogurt, this, that. Nothing. There's not anything wrong with that. But resurrect the life-giving on-plan meals, the simple, whole, clean foods too. Yeah?
Yeah.
Resurrect Yeah, I think I've done my list there, but we got to talk life, think life, dream life, hope with life, emanate life, refuse death of all kinds. And even, you know, we've talked about all other forms of death, you know, spiritually, mental in every way, relationships. But even with our loved ones who may be dying of cancer or this and that, it might be, we don't know, God's sovereignty. He might choose to take them. He's sovereign. We're not going
to. He might choose to receive them.
He might choose to receive them. That's the word. I don't believe he takes. I believe he receives, because he's not the author of death or the author of sickness ever. But, you know, in his sovereignty, he might choose to receive. Mm-hmm. Like he did my little baby that I miscarried a couple of months ago. But we don't know that it was their time unless we battled for it
first. And Serene, you fought for life until God said, right?
Totally.
He said, you don't need to fight anymore.
My daughter brought me this shirt, Truly Blessed, and she wanted me to wear it when we told the family that I was having a baby. And I started bleeding, and I pretty much knew it was going to be a miscarriage. Like, it was like the heavy and the bad. But something said inside of me, no, you wear that shirt. Until you get a negative test again, you wear that shirt.
Mm.
And so I wore that shirt in faith. And I think, you know, pray and don't give up, and have faith, because you don't know if God sovereignly chooses to receive them until you've fought your battle.
And they, you know, honestly, battles are not sometimes won overnight. There's a weight, and the Bible talks about the weight. I mean, Jesus even had to wait for his time. I mean, Abraham had to wait 25 years. Mm-hmm. All through the Bible, there was waits for things. And the scriptures tell us, you know, those who endure with patience shall see the reward. And so I think sometimes, even if you're in a relationship and you're doing all you can and you're believing for life, sometimes there will be a wait.
Yeah.
But don't lose hope. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things don't look good.
Sometimes it's darkest before the dawn.
Yeah.
So I'm just inspiring myself. I'm inspiring you out there to get a battle cry. Sometimes it's okay to have the, like I said before, the whisper in the night prayers.
Yeah, that's good too.
It's good too. It's all part of it. But there's also a part for a battle cry.
Yeah.
And let it be a battle cry for life.
Trim out the mama my way. And then I'll be trim out the mama.